Blog Talk Radio.
Sleeping, Matt. Haha. Now, I am your co-host, Dennis. And as always, our marvelous host, keeper of the board, and the man that inspires me to improve my knowledge daily, 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 Matt Nazir.
Gotcha.
Yes, you did. You caught me sleeping on that one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Always a gentleman and a scholar. How are you doing this evening?
Just lovely, brother. Just lovely. I've been thinking all day, how can I get a good one in on Matt? And I went, you know what? As soon as the music ends, I'm going to jump in and kind of leave him sitting on the bench for a moment. And I'm going to do to him what he does to me every week and try to come up with a nice little list of descriptors on him. And let's see how we can do. So I left him sort of speechless on that one.
Yeah, you know what? But the problem with that is now I won't be able to walk through my door because my damn head's so big.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for you and what you put me through every damn program with all the descriptors and adjectives about me, I wouldn't have bothered breaking out thesaurus.com and trying to figure out what I could do back to you. So again, you have inspired me to increase my knowledge.
That's you know what, that's just what I do. I inspire people to educate. That's pretty much self-education.
Yeah. Even if I only did it just to screw with you. And it worked.
Yeah. But now you know more words, so I win.
Well, I mean, I could have opened up my word a day calendar and gone from that. But, I wasn't thrilled with my word a day. I've got the triple X rated version of it. I didn't think you wanted me to use that one.
What was your word of the day?
Huh?
What was your word of the day?
Flatulent. I didn't think it would go well. imagine the introduction. And now our wonderfully flatulent host. No. Just not mindful there.
I would have gone through the soundboard and looked for a fart noise as fast as I possibly could, though, before I said anything.
Yeah. But no, you do it to me every single show. Come up with this whole string of descriptors on me that each week I just sit back and go, all right, what the hell is he going to do now, and how much bullshit is he going to blow on this one? So far, I think you're worst when you've hit four words. And it's like, come on, dude, really? I'm not that damn fantastic. I mean, I've seen me in the mirror.
Well, now I got to beat four, so you set yourself up for that one.
Yeah, that's all right. From here on out, I'll also be logging into the board, so I'll just mute your ass. The entertainment value. Yes, it'll go something like this. And as always, and nobody will hear a damn thing, and I'll go, his co-host, me. Oh, the entertainment value I can have. Or I can do, like, you know, come off the board with half a dozen belches that just, like, cover you over.
Yeah, then again, I think Jody would actually have you beat. I just have her belch live. Hey, Jody,
yeah,
anytime Dennis attempts to speak, just burp his ass.
I see how it is. I think what I'll have to do, I will see if I can shoot Jody a message. I will have her record one for me. Shoot it over. We'll put it on. I'll move it up to the board. I'll name it something obscure, you know, Butterfly Whispers or something. That way you can't find it on the board to mess with me.
Well, knowing you, you would actually name it Butterfly Whispers after you've told me that.
I'm not quite that damn dumb.
So, okay. What I do want to say is happy 4th of July Eve. To you, Dennis, I hope that you guys have something great planned, and it's going to be a good day for you guys. And everybody listening, I hope everybody has a safe and happy 4th. And I did find something on the board that I do want to play. So we can all be silent for a moment, bow your heads, take your damn hats off, and check it out. Have a safe one, have a happy one, and let's kick off the debauchery.
Now, above all, make sure that if you're going to be drinking, don't drive. Get a designated driver, call a cab, call a friend. Don't ruin somebody else's 4th by some foolish mistake.
I completely agree, and also the cops are going to be out in full force. It's definitely going to be something that you do not want. They're going to be cracking down pretty heavy this year. So it is something, and it's not worth it. It's not worth taking a life or anything like that. So please, everybody be safe. Have a happy one. Make sure you don't light fireworks in your damn hand, because it seems like people are getting too stupid to remember to throw them, because the reports of firework-related injuries go up and up every year.
Well, hey, I've got one on that same line. We had a guy, I don't know, I guess the little town's like 30 miles south of where I'm at. Mobile home, detonated his mobile home. He was making his own fireworks. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, sympathies to his family, but along with his mobile home, he detonated himself. So if you're going to play with them, folks, remember there are people that are paid professionals that set off the big shows. There's a reason they're paid professionals. So don't be screwing with them. And remember, and this one actually surprised me, brother. State of Virginia, even sparklers are illegal. They were explaining it gets something like close to 2,000 degrees or some shit. I'm like, good Lord, man. I can weld with that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't ever realize they got that damn hot.
You know, condolences go out to the, his family for sure. But there's two things that you said, and I'm able to poke fun at this because I'm from the South too, and I did find something else on here. I do want to see what it is because real quick, if it turns out not to be anything that what I know what it is, it'll get shut right off. But after that comment, it caught my eye after that story because I don't know what the hell kind of atomic bomb firework that he was trying to make. But apparently it was something serious if he detonated everything. So let's see what this one is here. All right, that's not what I thought it was. All it said on the board was redneck.
Yeah, redneck yacht club. I'm good with that.
Yes, that's actually a damn good song, but I didn't know if it was Jeff Foxworthy or what it was, so I was going to let that one run.
Yeah, doesn't hurt. I mean, now, folks, if you don't understand, we've got, I don't know, there's 100-plus different little sound clips on the board. So we never know what the hell all of them are, and we don't get to listen to all of them. So some of them might have to fall under an X-rated show. We don't know. You get to find out right along with us. So,
with all the crazy assholes on our network, I would assume that a lot of them would fall under that X-rated version.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, you look at this one in Texas style, man. Them guys got loose. But, hey, I do have a question. What are your big plans for 4th of July?
Well, after our lovely show is over, I have about 13 pounds of ribs that I got to cook. And the way that I cook my ribs, I don't do the whole 24-hour thing and any of that kind of stuff. But it is an 8-hour process. And I don't have anything that I'm capable of cooking 13 pounds of ribs in, so they all have to be done in 3 slabs at a time. So I got a lot of cooking between now and tomorrow afternoon. I have no idea if I'm going to my cousin's having a pool party. It's supposed to be 86 degrees and sunny, so it's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going down to the boat. I still don't know the exact plans. There's options on the table. It's just which one do I want to pick?
Yeah. So for me, I get to go take a physical first thing in the morning. I've got a document that I have to get signed. It is called a submarine embarkation medical information document, generated by the U.S. Navy. I can't give dates or anything. I can't tell what vessel. But there is a United States Navy submarine that I get to go take a 4-day tour in. Actually get out to sea in the whole nine yards. Now, as a civilian, this is definitely a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I can't pass this one up.
I do not blame you whatsoever. But on the physical, how far up there, up your ass do they actually have to go?
I think it referenced elbow deep, but it might have been bicep. I don't recall.
it, it depends how deep the sub goes, which is how deep the doctor's got to go, huh?
And I think it also depends on how long the bastard's forearms are. But, hey, who knows? I guess if he talks real sweet to me, maybe I'll let him buy me dinner afterwards, too. What the hell?
Yeah, and let me guess, you're praying for a little person, aren't you?
I am hoping it's a midget.
I was being PC, but if you want to throw that out there.
No, I don't care. I know my luck. I'm going to have, you know, some bastard that looks like Shaq be my doctor. All right, well, we're going a little ways in here. Just a finger or two. We're only going to play just the tip. Ah! Tip of what, for well, God's sakes, a cannon?
If you got some, Shaq's fingers are like our arms. So
yeah, that's my point. I mean, a dude can palm a basketball and cover half of it, for Christ's sakes. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I come back next week and I'm talking a little odd, and I seem a little, you know, out there, well, you'll certainly understand why.
So more or less, if you come back and you're talking like this, then it'll make sense.
Yeah, if I come back and I'm all happy and sugary and everything, and like I have a little bit of a lift, we'll know what the hell happened.
All right, so we're going to go.
Well, see,
from
I know
talking.
I'm going to offend somebody with that. Go ahead, just send me the messages at, you know, CPR Dennis at Facebook. I know it's coming. I'm good with it. Not the first time.
Or you can find him at CPR Dennis on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Blow up my Twitter feed. Yay. I don't care.
Other than that,
as far as... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you
hang up first.
Oh, speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, after Monday night's show, Matt and I ended up on the phone again. You know, finished out our questions with each other about the show and how we think we can improve it and everything else. And then, well, it was another one of those conversations that nobody said goodbye on. It just ended this way. Matt? Matt? Good night, Matt. So, yeah, it didn't exactly end well. There were no goodbyes, I love you, none of that shit.
And let me clarify, that wasn't flatulence, that was snoring. Since that's Dennis's word of the day. And it, on this end, it sounded like flatulence.
Yeah, well, you know, like I posted last week when you said you were going off the grid because you were going to be in the middle of BFE, Wisconsin for the weekend. Yeah. You know, you're starting to really tax this bromance. I'm telling you now, man. I know there's somebody else. Just admit it.
Well,
yes. That's
I didn't
want to
tell you
silence. That. I think that long silence there counts as being left speechless, brother.
You can think what you want, but actually, I was playing the part of the. Well, I didn't want to do this in public.
Damn it, man. So, anyway, hey, folks, if you want to call in, if you've got anything you want to talk about or just give me hell, 323-580-5703. Call in and talk to us on Full Spectrum Radio. But
yeah, tonight's kind of a winging it show. Not that we're winging it, just it was one of the, and I know everybody's busy. I know busy schedules, stuff like that. So I didn't want to tie somebody down with family plans and all that stuff. And I mean, Dennis and I choose to do this, so we got to do it no matter what. But yeah, it's definitely something to where we couldn't. The show has to go on, if you will. But I want to give everybody else a break and have everybody listen to our crazy asses for a little while. So, but yeah, if you have anything you want to talk about, like Dennis said, 323-580-5703. And don't be shy. Call your ass in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, so on a different note, you know, I told you Monday night that I was pretty extremely sunburned. Yeah, I discovered something. When you have to put on a Tyvek suit and crawl around in a crawl space for a couple hours sweating like a horse, you will blister. You will peel. It will itch like a son of a... I've been running around here all day looking at a grizzly bear. Every corner I run into, I'm scratching my back. And I look like a grizzly in the woods rubbing on trees, man. So, yeah, note to self, pale white boy, doesn't see sunshine much, leave shirt on when you're outside. There's my PSA for the day. I haven't hardly slept because it has burned so bad. You know, when I first get into the bed, the sheets are nice and cool. I'm like, oh, God, this is great. Now I have a Tempur-Pedic mattress. What is the one thing a Tempur-Pedic does? It stores your body heat. Ah, oh, shit.
You know,
why don't I just crawl right into the oven and, yeah, you know?
They came out with a new Tempur-Pedic. That it actually wicks they call it the Tempur-Pedic Cool, that it actually is more like a temperature controlled mattress, to where your mattress, you can set your temperature of your mattress.
Now, is that electrical? Because I pee the bed a lot and I really wouldn't want it to short out on me. I'm kidding. No, I don't want to get in bed.
So how did Dennis pass away? Oh, it was tragic. What happened?
He beat the bed and electrocuted himself.
Yeah, and you know, it was crazy how it worked. It was a very, very bad situation. It started at his penis and worked its way through his body.
But, yeah, somebody said his testicles popped like Orville Redenbacher popping corn. We need a guest. I'm just going to get worse.
This is going to go very, very south, very, very fast.
Yes. Well, that escalated quickly.
Yes,
no,
it
ladies
did.
And gentlemen, I do not do crack. I'm not on any, you know, illicit drugs. I'm just warped, twisted, and perfectly happy with that.
And I am too, and that's part of the reason I love you. You know what?
Yeah,
I just saw.
And you'd quit cheating on the bromance, man.
You know what? I did just see. This is something that. I've been talking about for a while, and I did just see something on the board, which I hope that when it comes out, when it just sounds bad after the bromance thing, when I'm talking about coming out, when I actually get the 100% confirmation, I have been talking to the person who runs the Paracon in Pennsylvania that Dennis, you and I will be attending. And I'm not going to say who it is so people don't blow them up and, you know, ask all these questions and all that stuff. Anonymity is key on that. Trust me.
That reminds me, go ahead and throw a plug out there for the Paracon.
Yeah.
Date, where is that?
It's going to be September 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Sands in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I will be there. Dennis is going to come up. There's going to be a slew of people. I can go back in and look at it. And I think what I did find on the board is GhostCon 2013. Sarah LaBrie is going to be there. Jody Parks is going to be there. Brittany Johnson is going to be there. So I wonder our dear friends, Big Ray and KB, Ghost Raps Radio. They're going to be there broadcasting live. And Dennis and I are going to have a good amount of time on their show also. So let me see. I don't know if this is a plug for it, but let's see if this is, because this is something I'm going to play the hell out of, since it's going to be something that we're both traveling a damn good distance to go to. So let's see what this is. For that one.
Nope. That one would be for something else, and that's all right, because I could barely understand it.
That I, myself included.
Yeah, well, good. I don't feel so damn bad. I thought it was my hearing going to hell in a handbasket, but no, must have just been the plug.
Well, now my hearing.
Yeah, folks, if you're anywhere near Allentown, PA, by all means, come join us at the Sands. Got 3 days. There's a lot of Paris celebs going to be there. A lot of people that you've seen on the TV, a lot of us that you've listened to on the radio, you know, come up, ask your questions. You know, for the most part, we're all out here to help further the investigative field, and, you know, we're not bashful. I mean, if we were bashful, we certainly wouldn't be on air. Wouldn't be out in the public eye like we are. So come up and keep us occupied. Allentown, PA at the Sands, September 6th, 7th, and 8th.
And I'm trying to I just lost it. There we go.
No, brother, you lost it a long damn time ago.
This is, yes, this is true. Oh, man, I need to zoom in on that. There are, I have the flyer up, but it's pretty small on my screen right now, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 15, 30, 45. There's going to be damn near 60 people there.
Nice.
So, plus us, we were added to the roster a little bit late. But, yeah. There's 60 people, and I got to find a bigger picture of this just to name a couple of the names. Yeah, I know. Well, it always looks bigger in pictures. All right, so Patrick Byrne.
See, I figured out how to do that. When I send a picture of my privates, I use a pencil to put beside it so I look. You know, it gives them an idea of scale, but I use one of them little teeny tiny golf pencils.
They never know.
I ain't right, man. I just ain't right.
So just to give you an idea, Patrick Byrne, Charlie Gibson, Robert Merge, Jeff Ballinger, Dave Schrader, Aaron Sayers, a lot of the cast from The Walking Dead, Jim Crit's going to be there. Brian Kano and Jason Gates from The Haunted Collector are going to be there. The list goes on and on. Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes. Kristen Bauer from True Blood. Dennis O'Hare from True Blood.
Why don't you throw that thing up on your... Facebook, Matt, and of us can share it.
Yeah, these are all independent, and I believe from what I've heard, Ben Henson might be making an appearance there. There's just going to be a ton of people, and so what I'll do is the problem is when I share this.
Yeah.
It's going to have the same problem that we're having right now when I'm trying to read it on this. But once you see the caliber, you know, if you can blow it up, zoom in, whatever, please do so.
It should be a hoot, because I know half of them are about semi-crazy, kind of like us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have to be semi-crazy. Think about it. What do we do when a client calls and says, I got ghosts in my house. I'm so scared to stay in my house. We leave. Everybody else is leaving. We're going in. Kind of like firefighters, but speaking of firefighters, we're nowhere near as cool as they are, but now I used to run fire squad. You ran ambulance and medic and all that shit. Just one more. We did it on Monday night. We had a moment of silence for the Arizona Hotshot squad that was killed doing what they do to protect everybody else. I'd kind of like to do the same thing here, Matt, and give them just a moment of silence and pay our respects to them. Now, if you tuned in with us on Monday night to listen to Into the Darkness Radio, we did the same thing then. But we've got a totally different crowd, I believe, from Monday night to tonight. So if you're not aware, there were 19 firefighters in Arizona battling one of the wildfires. Well, there were 20. 19 got to go home, or 19 didn't get to go home, or maybe, I guess, depending on your religious beliefs, they did get to go home. But one of them actually got to go back to his earthbound family. So for the 19 firefighters there in Arizona, our deepest condolences to the families.
Yeah, I fully agree. And on that, we'll do the same thing that we did on Into the Darkness, Full Spectrum style. We will just, we'll give them the 19 seconds of silence, and we can start that right now. And prayers and thoughts and wishes and everything go out to them. It doesn't matter if, and I was thinking about this too, and I know a ton of fire crew. I know a ton of law enforcement. I know a ton of everything, and military, soldiers, sailors, stuff like that. And it doesn't matter what branch you're in. It doesn't matter anything like that. No one is better than the other, even though amongst the ranks they give themselves crap about it. But the brotherhood of what they do is amazing. I mean, when it comes down to it, if you look at yourself versus and your job, what you do for a living, and you think that your job is high stress if you're working in an office or something like that, and some of them are. But when you're dealing with protecting human life by putting yourself at risk, that's definite hats off, no questions asked. I give that whole division of people the utmost respect, and being somebody who's done it and worked in it, and Dennis, I know you know the same thing. We've seen shit that you do not want to wish on your worst enemy.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. There's nothing worse than being the first individual that shows up to a car crash and you have to watch part of a family be erased. So, I mean, being a firefighter, law enforcement, any of the above, They definitely have my hats off.
Yeah, and for, you know, and that's another thing, too, is you can answer if you want to, but I kind of want to make it hit a little close to home about what we were talking about earlier about safety and partying and stuff like that. How many people due to accidents have you had pass away in your arms?
So far, even without being part of a rescue squad or anything, not on calls, I have had 6, 7 that I've literally had my hands on while they drew their last breath. So, and that's from mostly from car crashes, motorcycle crashes. Just pay attention. I was watching now, and this goes right in line with exactly what we're talking about. I was watching a movie or program this evening called Brain Games. I absolutely love it. It is It is a fantastic program. One of the things that they were doing, they gave a professional driver a series of questions on, you know, like Bluetooth wireless or whatever in the car, made him drive his car on, obviously this was on a closed course, he was following another vehicle that, you know, they were throwing objects in front of him. They're still 30 feet apart, but he has to decipher where he can go to get away from the object in front of him or whatnot. His driving was fine. They made him run the course without a phone conversation or anything. His driving was fine. He was able to maintain, stay within the boundaries. Then when they had him doing the phone interview or the Bluetooth wireless questioning and whatnot, his driving sucked. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, we all think that, oh, I can talk and drive. Well, no, your mind has a ability to, you know, the old one-track mind. Most people truly cannot multitask. And, man, were they proving that theory tonight?
Oh, yeah, and so, one of them was a guy that swore that he multitasked all the time. He talks on the phone and drives and can accomplish pretty much everything. And he was actually one of the worst ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, now for, 12, 15 years, I guess, I was a crane operator. Now, as a crane operator, you're lifting, well, the largest crane I was certified on was up to 450 tons. Now, think about it, 450 tons going up and overhead, if that drops on you, your day just went to hell in a handbasket. Of course, mine does too, because I've got to deal with the fact that I just squished somebody like an ant. But, yeah, I mean, it was an absolute strict rule. You could be on a cell phone only if the rig was stationary. The minute the rig had to move, you had to shut the phone off, and that was the end of the game. Oh, hey, I just heard my first bottle rocket of the season. But, yeah, it's, you know, our minds can do multitasking to a small extent. But, well, I was just on I-95 this afternoon. I'm convinced there's a lot of us out here that can't multitask for crap. They can't blink and drive. Let alone talk on a phone or, God forbid, drink and drive, because I almost got sideswiped on I-95 by a moron beside me that had both hands on the wheel. So I don't know what the hell he was doing. So all of a sudden he's halfway in my lane. I'm running from him. I'm like, hey, wait. You know, I understand you're one-third of the road. I'm good with that, but take that third over there, man, not mine. But, yeah, he had both hands on the wheel, and City come at me. No, I don't know if you had a, you know, like a Bluetooth wireless or you know, in-car phone system or anything. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe he was looking at GPS to make sure it was telling him he was on the road. But I thought for sure he and I were going to be exchanging information before long. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got, if you have some sort of big family gathering or anything for the 4th of July, or you've got bigger plans, or you know, perhaps your town puts on a great fireworks display, give us a call. Let us know about it. 323-580-5703. Otherwise, you just get to hear about me and Matt prattling in along here.
Which it's not like we haven't done before.
No, no. Hell, we've done it. Oh, hey, on an abstract thought. God, we're loaded with those anyway. I got to touch on eBay today. What's that?
I said that's an average show, loaded with abstract thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it comes out of me, it's got to be abstract. Anyway, I was punching around on eBay before the program. Wanted to pick up some new 8mm tapes for one of my night vision cameras. I think I got a pretty good deal. I bought a six-pack of, well, it was a mixed between Sony and Maxell. Six-pack of them was $8.49. Brand new in the package. So, yeah, I'm kind of happy about that.
That's actually a really good deal due to the fact that if you go to Walgreens or Albertsons or whatever you have down by you, or not you personally, but just anybody throughout the country, is they're like $6.99 for a pack of two. So
yeah, I wasn't sure
I think
what
you did good.
I mean, I bought my camera used. I think I got a pretty damn good deal on it. I paid $50 for a decent Sony Night Vision 8mm video camera. So, yeah. But that brings me to a point. If you're thinking about, you know, jumping on eBay and you want to go buy a Night Vision camera, or you're looking at, you know, a brand new one, man, you know, getting into this field is rather expensive to begin with. And we were talking about this on another show, but check out Craigslist, things like that. You'd be amazed how cheap some people will sell some of their stuff simply because they don't need it and they don't really know what it's valued for.
And I'll tell you, the other thing, especially when it comes into the Hi8, which when it comes to video review, I actually do prefer a Hi8 over digital. The transfer is a little more expensive, which you can have done at your local camera shop, something like that. Or even, you know, like I said, Walgreens, Albertsons, they can send it out. And you get it back in about a week, but they'll transfer it from Hi8 to DVD. Or a video file. So
a lot of laptops can do that now. I mean, mine, I can plug directly into my laptop, and it's got a DVD burner in it.
Yeah, well, a lot of them don't have the video and audio in jacks to actually be able to do that. There's an adapter you can buy that plugs in your USB that can do that.
Right.
I actually
looked at the adapter online. I think I paid $24 for mine. It plugs into the USB, and then I can plug the camera into it with the video and audio jacks. But I saw them as low as like $17. So, you know, that's a good way to feed straight from your camera on the Hi8 camera anyway. Now, the digital cameras are all easy. I mean, pretty much all of them have USB out anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to sidetrack for a moment. Go figure. But getting back to your word of the day, I've been going through the soundboard just looking for looking for something, you know, to play of what's currently loaded on there for the end of the show to pay respect. And this is exactly the opposite of that. I don't know what it is, but with your word of the day being flatulence, which was surprisingly to describe me, flatulence is a buildup of gas in the intestinal tract that passes through and creates a portion of methane and a release of pressure, as far as by semi-definition. We had a guest log out of chat. Talking about...
Well, do you blame them?
So, I did come across this one that I don't know what it is, but it's short, so hopefully it'll be what it is. But yes, I wanted to give an example for people who don't exactly understand what flatulence is, so... So that was Dennis's description of me on his word of the day.
Well, no, it wasn't.
So I was just a
big, told you that was on my word of the day calendar, but I wasn't going to utilize that. Jackass. Well, it's obvious. For those that don't know, it's obvious, Matt, that your penis enlargement tools are working. You're a bigger dick today than you were Monday.
God.
No, Dennis. Oh, you thought it was God? Does my voice sound that good? Well, thank you.
Yeah, you kind of have that sleek awesomeness to it. So,
yeah. Well,
by the way,
we were absolutely right when we said this is going to go downhill fast.
Yeah, our we're not resorting to fart jokes. I'm sorry, I won't let that happen. But anyway, what I did kind of want to get into as far as on the paranormal aspect, and too bad we lost our chat guest. They weren't talking anyway,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, we seldom have people in chat anyway. But we have a great listenership, which... I want to thank you folks out there for tuning in and listening to us.
Yes, I definitely concur with that. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. Everybody and everybody who, you know, talks about us, promotes us, gets us, you know, out there and talks to your friends about us, it means an absolute, absolute ton. So I just, from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. I mean, it means a lot to myself, and I know it does you too.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, I've had messages hit me in, you know, Facebook messaging and telling me what a great show, and hey, it's, you know, I've had a shitty day, and thanks for brightening it up. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're able to make somebody's day a little brighter. Hell, I'm happy for that, man. And I know full well that Matt is also. You know, if we can make somebody that's having a bad day get a good laugh at the end of the day, then it's all worth it.
Yeah. And I mean, I always say this too, like personally, with the voices in my own head. But no, like honest to God truth. If I can change one person's opinion about something of when they see it from their own perspective, if I can give them a different perspective about it, and it helps take away worry, it helps take away, you know, stress, anything like that. It doesn't matter what the hell I've done through my day. If I can help somebody else, to me, that's a damn good day. So
yeah,
everybody goes.
I mean, mine is just to put a smile on my face.
Well, that's what I mean is, well, even not a smile. If it's just less a lesser frown, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Because you can't fix everybody's problems. You can't you can't fix pretty much anything. It's up to that person how they want to receive what you're putting out there for them. So, just a little bit of how we personally work. I mean, you know, if you contact us for anything, you know, whether it's paranormal, just personal help, hey, I'm having, you know, issues with this, that, or the other thing, and I can give you guidance or you contact Dennis or, you know, anything like that, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah, well, we've both been up, you know, many nights, quite late at night. You know, someone contacts us with just issues that they need to talk about, and they won't have anybody else. All right, hell, yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's happened more times than you would believe. But you know, what the hell are we here for? The only purpose that any of us are here for is to, A, get through life, and hopefully along the way make somebody else's day a little bit brighter.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and I have to say, Dennis, I don't know if you saw my post or not. I don't know what's going on with my throat. Hold on 1 second. My throat keeps getting, like, I keep getting verklempt.
Damn it, George.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Old SNL, if anybody remembers that. But, yeah, no, I really, like, I have to say a huge congratulations to my friend Kylie, who works at Tokyo Bay part-time. Her and I had gone out to dinner for some awesome crab, and she was having a little bit of a turmoil in her life as far as her personal life with her boyfriend goes, what she wanted to do as far as professionalism or profession goes, and all that stuff. And after we had talked at dinner, she ended up a couple days later getting a couple interviews, talking about, you know, a whole bunch of different avenues that she wanted to go down, explored them, weighed her options, and she landed two jobs within like 3 days of each other.
Sweet.
So yes, congratulations to Kylie. And here's the biggest thing about it too, is she works in the fashion industry. So that's an extremely hard industry to make an impact in. And she did it. So I didn't help her with anything. I didn't, you know, I gave her my opinion and she took it. She did what she wanted to do with it. And, kind of a follow-up celebration, dinner that we had last night. She's happy. She's extremely happy. So congratulations to Kylie. Proud of you. And I'm, no, she's not listening, but because she's working at one of those jobs right now.
Yeah,
but,
well. Hey, you never know.
But,
she might be listening.
Yeah, I sent her the link, and she said, well, I'll probably still be working on one of the projects, but I'll have to listen to it later. But, yeah, so congratulations, Kylie. Happy for you. Applause, applause, applause.
Now, see, if you actually look at the board, maybe you can find a applause clap track, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah,
when they call the one with laughter is the laugh track, so why wouldn't that be a clap track? And I realize that sounds like something that a couple of injections are going to have to fix, but give them a clap track. That's just wrong. Why you gotta keep going there, man?
What?
What?
What'd you say?
I said, why you gotta keep taking the conversation there?
I don't know, Dennis. I never know.
Yeah, well, we never know. We never know nothing. But anyway, all right. Next.
All right, so let's get into some paranormal stuff.
Yes. I got an odd text today that says, I'm not going to say who it's from, but I had to get a chuckle out of it. Here I am at work trying to, you know, go through my day, and I get this odd text message that says, okay, someone is hovering over me. I can't tell who it is, but I can't stand it. At times I feel like I'm being choked or smothered to death. Well, I replied with, now this person is preparing to go through divorce and whatnot. The first thing that came to my mind was a G. Didn't get a full name, but I got a G. Well, as it turns out, ironically, the person that she is getting divorced from, his name starts with a G. So, yeah, once again, it's that strange feeling. Always listening to voices in your head. They just might be right.
You know, but, and that is something that I do want to address. Because I was talking to the same person and referred them to you.
Well, that would be today?
Yes, that was today.
Oh, okay.
So with the exact same, you know, approach me with the exact same thing. And when you're dealing with stuff, and this is exactly one thing that I can't stress enough, as an investigator or researcher, whatever you want to call yourself, preferably besides expert, but if you honestly don't know the answer, don't try and figure it out. Create a network of trust that you can refer it to somebody else. Yes, okay, I can refer it to Dennis because, you know, I'm CPR, he's CPR East. I wouldn't have that trust with him to be a member of the, you know, of CPR and create his own team, which he's done a phenomenal, phenomenal job of, and is extremely highly respected in the area that he works in, just the same as we are here in Chicago. So if you truly don't know the answer, because she asked me flat out, and I'm like, you know what? This is above me. I'm like, I can help you with your physical life stuff, but I cannot help you with the spiritual end of it. So I said, contact Dennis, and I gave out a couple other names. I'm like, these are the people that if you want, contact them, and we'll get it figured, you know, help you the best that we can to get it figured out of what that is. But I have no input on this. And I don't want to give you any input on it because I would be completely wrong. Yes, Dennis, that was today. I referred her to you, and I'm glad that she contacted you.
Yeah, well, it didn't go very far after that. I didn't get a response. So, no telling. But, yeah, I mean, I don't always get responses when I try to speak to spirit. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get smoke blown up my ass, to be frank with you. I have had, I've been called a whole random list of things. But you never know. I mean, sometimes I may be able to help you out and sometimes not. Kind of depends on what's going on as to whether or not, you know, spirit's willing to speak.
Yeah, well, also on the I don't even like using the word psychic anymore. On the non-spiritual communicator side, if you go into a place and you have, and I'm just talking like from an investigative standpoint, because this is another thing that I've been talking to people about recently, and it doesn't seem that there's a lot of analysis of the actual person and environment that's being done. For somebody who doesn't have, like, you know, a reader background or a psychological background or something like that, what do you honestly think would be a good I can give you examples because I know I'm kind of really hitting you out of left field on this one. But you walking into a place or, shit, I can't even use your team because they're all cops. That's what they're trained to do.
Not all of them. Not all of them.
No.
I have one.
One of them is just a U.S. Marshal.
Well, retired federal agent. We'll leave
it at
that.
They're all law enforcement. What I'm saying is like, I've been trying to figure out a really, really good answer for this of what would you actually would call a protocol or a certain level of questions that you should ask to just a general client. Like, what do you think are some of the things that what are some of the things that you think a team should know?
About the location?
About not only the location, but the person in the location.
Well, I try my best not to let the team know anything about the location as far as what's happening or the reported claims. I don't want them to have anything that can bias. If they hear a floor creak or something like that, I don't want them to think that it's activity. I want them to maintain their skeptical approach to everything. And, you know, if one of the claims in the location is footsteps and they hear a floor creaking, well, rather than automatically think, okay, well, that's probably footsteps or somebody moved or something like that, I want them to automatically use their skeptical side and go, okay, that's potentially house shifting. Maybe the HVAC system kicked in. You know, maybe it's heat, you know, things like that. That's the frame of mind that I want them to pay attention to. Are you looking at chat, Matt?
Yes, I am.
Let you take that.
Yes, you are called in. And I see you on the board. Is that you, Spellcaster? No, I didn't bring it live yet. I'm just asking.
Write
the answer in chat. I guess they should have clarified that.
some of the questions that I ask, because, you know, as the team leader, it's usually myself and perhaps CPR Graham that goes with me to do the initial interview with the client. And I want to know where are the hot spots. I want to know what activity they've claimed. Have you garnered any evidence? I mean, some people have done, recordings or, they've set up a video camera. Do you have any evidence that you've already gathered that I can look at so I can make a judgment call on whether or not I think it's been manipulated or, is it matrixing or things like that? I don't want you to just, that's why I've spent so much time in this field. So as far as my team, I try to keep them as blind to the location and the individual as possible. Now, there are times that I'm not able to do an initial interview ahead of the actual investigation. And in that case, I try to keep my team segregated away so they don't actually hear it. If they're telling me that, I constantly have an uneasy feeling in this corner, in this room, I don't want all of my team to, have that. It's actually kind of a leading feeling going in. I want them to have complete, genuine, no knowledge at all of the location. And then I don't have to worry about their thoughts being influenced. If I tell you on an EVP, I hear this, well, right away, you're more inclined to hear that than if I just say, hey, what do you hear on this? Matter of fact, just like the one that I sent up to SoundCloud for you and Helman to listen to, I didn't bother to tell you guys what I heard. I sent it up there. I let you guys make your judgment call, and then I told you what I heard and why I felt that was valid. And both of you hit it. That's the way an EVP should be. You should be able to hear the same thing through all ears. Now, there may be a little question here or there on a minor portion of, if by chance you get a whole sentence, or, three or four words strung together in the EVP, there may be a little variable in, did they say she or he? Things like that, words that are close sounding. But if you only have a one-word response, like in that case, I had asked in the EVP, I was in a mausoleum that had been desecrated. The caskets had been yanked out. On my EVP session, I asked how many of you were placed in here, and the response that myself and Helmy got was 4. Matt said, I'm not sure if he's saying 4 or 10. Well, Helmy was kind of iffy on 4 or 10 also, but he was pretty certain it said 4. As it turns out, there were 4 caskets inside that mausoleum. I didn't tell them that piece of information. Of course, I have that piece of information because I'm looking in this thing. But, whereas if I had said, hey, man, I hear this thing saying 4, what do you hear? Well, now right off the bat, you have that thought in your head that that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, the power of suggestion, definitely plays a part. And you can even, and not even paranormal related, not even having to send anybody anything. You can ask them a simple, just general question, but plant that seed in their head that that's what you think it is, whether you're completely, and you can bait it and say something, or, people in the paranormal field, do this. Do a test, not that it's going to piss anybody off, but just do a test to where you send somebody an audio clip and say, this is what I hear. And say, I hear it saying the sky is blue, or whatever would kind of fit close to what you actually think, but bait them with something that has to do with a completely wrong response, and see how they contact you back. Secondly, also say, oh, I got another one for you. Send them the exact same clip and be like, I have no idea what this is saying. What do you think? And then see if it comes up with a different answer. I guarantee you that 95% of the time it will, because you have not suggested that answer to somebody.
Another fun
you
one
let them
to do
try
is
and figure it out on their own.
Yeah, another fun one to do is send them a EVP session where you didn't get answers and go, hey, man, what did you hear? And then after you tell them, you know, I just sent it to you to see if you found anything because I didn't hear jack shit. See how well you fared, because they may hear something. Maybe they're using different headphones. Maybe they're using different earbuds, different software. You never know. The other thing that we've discovered, and we talked about this on Monday night as well, email sucks for sending EDP tracks to friends and so forth. Use something like SoundCloud or, you know, something along those lines. The compression rates and everything else, it changes everything. I mean, you have no idea what they're going to end up with. Yeah, so always try. I mean, if you don't have SoundCloud, it's easy. Go grab it. It works pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Since we have a lot more time than we had on Monday, we have Joe, who was called in, that wanted to have some, at least on Monday. I don't know if this has piqued any more interest in conversation. But,
yes.
Joe, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm working on my grimoire that I told you about. I'm actually working on it. I'm a paragraph in so far. I've been working on it all day, and it's going good. It's basically a cross between my spiritual past and the paranormal, and then I have a twist where I'm allowing people to submit stories to me, and if I like them, I might put them into the rough draft and see how it goes together.
Yeah, and Dennis, I think that we can both agree that we have some damn stories that we could probably submit to be a part of this.
Yeah, that's why I asked you on Facebook, and like, I had to apologize to you guys with the Facebook thing, because my computer crashed, and then when I finally got the message, it was like, really? Like, all the messages got sent out, and I'm like, ugh. So I lost my old Facebook, had to make a new Facebook, it was a mess.
Yeah, that always gets to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so what's on your guys' plate?
A ton. There's a lot of stuff coming up soon, actually. But Joe, when I talked to you on Monday on the screening thing, when we were talking towards the end of the show, we were talking about the Bermuda Triangle, and I know that was something that you wanted to talk about.
I remember that. Well, as you know, I did take a trip to Bermuda, and nothing happened. We went by the Bermuda Triangle. Nothing happened. So I think it's a conspiracy. But then there's the whole element, well, they're finding shipwrecks and, like, planes down there. So it's very controversial in a way. And it's like, well, you know, I did see a movie that was saying the military is having an underwater base there, and that's what's causing it all. I don't know. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still here. I went on a cruise to Bermuda and came back, and, you know, I'm still here.
Well, for what it is, like, and a lot of stuff with the Bermuda Triangle is it's not, and I've looked into this a lot as far from a physical end of what happens there, and it's not a constant to where everybody should avoid the place like the plague. I mean, it's a beautiful area, and there's a lot of beautiful islands and stuff within that vicinity of what is the quote-unquote Bermuda Triangle. There's a couple of them throughout, across the Earth, actually, and there is natural phenomena that does happen there that I can't say that science can explain it, but they just don't have a definitive answer for it. They have possibilities.
Right.
I don't believe that it is something that is created by aliens or that the government in a... you know, I can't say that that has anything to do with it at all. I could be completely wrong. There could be aliens flying down there meeting up with people from government and saying, you know what, we got to put all this shit here that's going to make planes and boats and all that stuff disappear.
Yeah. Then again, yesterday was the session, and it's been this spiritual community, they labeled it National UFO Day. So, you know, look up in the sky for the next couple of days and see what you find. You know.
So, let's see, and looking at that, though, like, how can you declare something as a National UFO Day? Like, that there's going to be more in the sky on that
honestly,
day.
I don't know. I was on Facebook, and they posted today is National UFO Day because the theory is supposedly with the paranormal thing, the spiritual thing, the time shift, and the super moon, and the retrograde, and all that stuff is creating more entities. And when I say entities, I'm preferring to ETs and other dimensional theories out there. Me, personally, I've never met one, so I can't give you an answer, you know, but until that day, you know, your guess is just as good as mine.
So, Joe, like, I know you were saying about how you're creating your spiritualness along with the paranormal, like what end of spiritualism do you work in?
I actually am a Reiki master and a practicing Wiccan.
So you're Reiki and you do Wiccan?
Yeah, I practice the religion called Wicca, and the person who practices it is called Wiccan, and then I mixed it into when I was getting trained for Reiki, that ties into it, you know, so I can help out, like, people that need some healing work or energy work. I help out that way. I've been invited on a couple investigations that when they pass spirit into light by a medium, they would ask me to send some Reiki towards the medium to help break down the spirit, to help it get into the light. You know, there's so much stuff that I've been asked. You know.
So what are you trying to do? What are you trying to tie in? Like, what exactly?
Tie in, can we elaborate on that? Like, can you be a little more detailed, or?
Yeah, I know, like, what are you trying to tie in with your spiritualism to the paranormal. As far as assistance, if like a homeowner needs it, or if a group needs it, or if a
both
location owner
let's say if somebody needed like had a poltergeist or some negativity, and they would want and a group comes in and investigates it and confirms that a situation is going on, they would ask me to come in and bless and clear out that energy. That's what they would use me for. And I think that's a beneficial tool, not so much a medium, but somebody who is a healer through Reiki. I think that could be a valuable tool for ghost hunters or paranormal researchers, because, you know, everything's energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So, you know, Reiki is life force energy that is used through healing. So, in a way, that can ultimately help out situations.
Yeah, and that was going to be my question was, can you define Reiki? Because I don't understand it. I've never studied
Reiki,
it, never spoke to anybody, so I'm not even sure exactly what it is.
Reiki is a Japanese form of energy healing that basically means you call on symbols to activate Reiki, and then a Reiki master like myself would be trained and get access to these symbols, which are sacred. So, you know, only Reiki students are allowed to get access to that when they're reaching their level of attunement, which is Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3. Reiki 3 being the mastery level, after you reach that attunement, you're allowed to teach other people how to go about learning Reiki. So it's very much like how a medium would connect into spirit through trans channeling, only we're working with energy instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to get this right. All right. Well, let me ask you this. You say that you're doing this and trying to do this in conjunction with your spiritual side, which would be the Wiccan beliefs, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Now, for those that don't know, can you define
Wicca?
I mean, pretty much. You know, give us an idea of what Wicca is about, because most people are going to think witches, warlocks, and, you know,
the word witch is used in Wicca. We are considered to be witches. But we don't wear green hats and look ugly and fly on broomsticks. That's a misconception. However, we do use brooms to sweep away negativity when we cast circle. It's an earth-based religion that believes in a god and goddess, and it's close to Native American traditions. Only you're working with god and goddess, you're working with the gifts like crystals, herbs, oils, incense, all that stuff is incorporated into it. We do ritual on the Sabbath. In Wicca, the witch's New Year is Halloween, also the Wiccan New Year is Halloween, where we honor our ancestors, and it's an open veil. And the reason why we have jack-o'-lanterns outside is negativity and negative entities. And the idea of bobbling for apples were considered to be offerings to their ancestors that we honor on Halloween. And we have three E-Sabbaths, which is Lunar Sabbath, and also Summer Solstice, Winter Solstice, and we also have Beltane, which is Easter. We have Yule, which is Christmas, and, you know, it goes so far. There's only so much you can say, but, yeah, because we're on a short, you know, time limit that I have to limit with everything, with what I can educate with people. My main mission is to help break the stereotypes and try to help educate the people so they have a better understanding. And the reason why I came to paranormal, and I think one reason why most people do, is to find out the age-old question, what is life after death, you know, and what happens. I think if you go up to any investigator in the paranormal field, you would, you know, ask that question, they would respond to that. And maybe you would respond to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been my reason for getting into this was, you know, what the hell is there afterwards? Because I know it doesn't all just end in darkness after the ride
right,
on a long black Cadillac.
Yeah.
You know, I want to prove that, you know, you can still talk to your loved ones even after they've passed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually had confirmation yesterday from a loved one that energetically made our presence known, and then I called my dad and confirmed, which was interesting. I was burning lavender incense, and then I felt the presence, and then I got the message telepathically, be strong, we love you. And that was it. And then I felt the presence pull back. I called my dad and asked if my grandmother liked lavender incense or the scent of lavender, and he confirmed she did. So there's no doubt in my mind it was a legitimate visualization.
Okay.
You know, that actually brings me to a question, and actually, for Dennis, you, who has more of an ability to talk to spirits than I do, or I, Joe, I don't know what level you can actually communicate with them on. But
I can turn myself into a open channel.
Okay, so let's take something physical in this world, like smell.
Mm-hmm.
What, how, like, this baffles the crap out of me. How
yeah.
can something that is not in this energy plane, and if it can bounce in and out or whatever, how can that create a physical smell, like, create a scent? Because in the human body,
mm-hmm.
smell is, and this is honest to God fact, you can look it up, scientifically proven, the sense of smell is the highest memory, like, basically, do you remember smells more than anything else? I'll put it lame in
yeah.
terms.
Yeah.
So how can something not of our physical sensory world create something of a smell of lavender or something like that? Like, what is the manipulation that is going on that causes that? And how is that honestly even possible? Because it scientifically, it does not make sense.
Right, and that's why it's a paranormal phenomenon. It does happen. Most people don't know why it happens. But in my experiences, certain sweet smokes, like lavender, frankincense, myrrh, dragon's blood, those types of scents, it's almost like scenting out a calling card to a higher consciousness. At least that's what we were taught when I was practicing, what I still do. Obviously, we light incense and candles and all that with the intention. And the idea we do that is not only do we have the power in ourselves, but we're projecting outward. And the idea is the smoke is reaching up to the heavens and a higher consciousness to bring it back. So it's essentially incense that you light, or, you know, spirit humming energetically or spiritually while lighting incense of a particular scent. It's because you're putting the intention in, and they pick up on that.
But, no, my question is, how would you figure, and Dennis, I'd love to hear your answer on this too, how would you figure that if in fact, and not even with any sort of seance or any sort of conjuring or anything of that sort by any way, what would be the reason of how, if you're just walking down a hallway during a paranormal investigation, of how you're getting a scent of something that is
like,
not environmental?
Like the scenario when you're walking out and you smell cigar smoke and that type of stuff.
Yeah, like that kind of thing makes it. It doesn't make sense how that would translate to a physical world of something.
That's like hardcore. Like I'm in the same boat with you on that one. I don't know. I mean, I've experienced it, but I don't have an answer yet. Which is making me compelled to wanting to explore more into the paranormal. In fact, I'm starting to get back into it. Maybe the other people would be able to clarify that.
Well, I have a theory on it. And, of course, it's just a theory. I simply cannot prove it. If they are able to communicate with us through our mind and you know, et cetera. I mean, you know, there are those that have talents. And, well, theory is we all have talents. Some just know how to use them. Some are afraid of them and don't. So if we have the ability to communicate with spirit as a whole, all right, like they say, children have a much greater power or a much greater ability, but as they grow, they're told that that's not normal and blah, blah, blah. So they push that ability aside. Well, we were just talking about something along this same exact line of thought, Matt. The power of suggestion.
Yeah.
If, let's say I'm spirit, all right, let's say I'm the spirit of your grandma or whatever, you know, whatever. If I am a spirit and I want you to think about my presence or I want you to think about me, what more could I do than exert energy to yell out to you or whatever than to plant a thought in your mind that you smell this smell? Now, if I take four different items, blindfold you, put four different items on the counter, and I tell you item number one is chocolate. And it's actually not chocolate, but it's something close to chocolate. You're going to think, that's chocolate. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. The power of suggestion is there. So they have, you know, and I think, now I don't know, like I said, I can't really prove it, but it makes sense to me that, you know, your nose doesn't work if the synapses, or if the synapse in your brain don't fire properly on what your nose picks up. If you smell it and a synapse in your brain don't fire properly, then what you smell isn't really what it smells like to you. But if they can manipulate the way we think and the way we feel and everything else, then why wouldn't they be able to plant that thought in your head that you smell lavender, you smell roses, you smell this, that, or the other? I mean,
not to cut you off, that's a valid point. In fact, when I had this experience, I had no recollection that my grandmother liked lavender incense until after experience when I actually called my dad and asked that. So I hear what you're saying, and I mean, like, that is a pretty spot-on theory that you have. And, you know, from what I experienced, not knowing that she liked it, you know, and then having an energetically feeling a presence, that's also another thing that kind of baffled me. But, you know, you're spot on with your theory, and I would love you to share that with the world more often. Use that as a tool, and experiment with that tool. You know, like, use that theory and switch it around. Try to see if it works with different types of things. You might get better results in your paranormal field.
You know, there's really, I mean, I'd love to be able to test that theory, but there's no machine that can smell something that any of us can afford and identify it. You know,
so we can't
truly test the environment. Now, you can have two people standing side by side. One smells it and one doesn't. You know, because unless, you know, spirit talks to both, or maybe they can do it just through a conscious broadcast. I'm not real sure what else I would call it. But if you and I are standing side by side, I smell, say, lavender, and you don't. Well, have we proven that spirit is talking to me? No, we haven't proved shit other than I think I smell something and you don't.
Right.
And there's no machine that can sample the air and say, okay, that smell smells like lavender. So therefore, we can't validate that, you know, well, yeah, you know, Dennis said he was walking down that hallway and smelled lavender, and the smell sniffer machine said there was lavender in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it makes it extremely difficult to test. And the other thing is in sound. A lot of the readings that I've gotten and have done, you know, people so badly want to talk to, you know, my dad passed away,
yeah,
and I would truly love to hear from him and blah, blah, blah. I just want to know that he's okay. I want to know that he still thinks about me and this, that, and the other. Well, a lot of responses that I get are, well, I'll give you one case in point specific. I told her, listen to bells at random times when it just doesn't make any logic that you'll hear bells, but you will hear bells. You'll hear church bells at random-ass times. You'll hear wind chimes when there's no wind.
Right,
you can't even see a wind chime around you, but you'll hear these things. And the girl that I was talking to on that occasion said, well, you know, it's really strange that you say that because those are two of the most soothing sounds to me. Are church bells and wind chimes. You know, it's just strange that you would say that to me. Well, that's what I was and pretty much told to pass on to you, those are the times that they're checking in on you to let you know that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
And
totally.
You know,
totally.
So the other thing that that brings up is if you and I are doing an investigation and we're walking through a location and all of a sudden I hear bells or I hear wind chimes or something, that we can validate whether or not it was actually environmental or if I just heard it. Because
mm-hmm.
if it's environmental, we're going to have it on the recorders.
Right. Right, right.
So that one's verifiable in that aspect. But, and I hope, I hope that a team member wouldn't be blowing smoke up your backside and say, hey, man, I hear bells. What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and just be making it up and bullshitting. But, you know, so as far as the smells, I'm pretty certain that if there were a way to actually test that theory, man, I'd love to be able to test it.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty certain.
But it's coming at some point, you know, with the technology getting stronger. I mean, we have things that blow air and pulls it back and detect, like, different types of frequencies for identifying terrorists and stuff that was actually put on the market in New York about 3 years ago at some point. And it was effective. Obviously, they had to have something like that to prevent terrorism at that time. And they just continued that. And now they have a full body scan, which you step in, and it's almost like a bar that literally does a full body scan and scans everything to see through. And the technology that we have now for security reasons may actually at some point be used for paranormal investigation.
That's not exactly portable or available to the public.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, at some point, you know, where they can downsize it, you know,
In addition, those are designed to sniff certain things. They don't have, you know, this broad database of, you know, and be able to call it out as, you know, it's lavender, it's, you know, this. I mean, those are things that, you know, it wouldn't be able to call out, that's grandma's perfume.
Right.
That's grandma's favorite incense. That's what I'm getting at. There's no way to really test that portion of this, my theory.
No, right.
But, you know, in your memory, you know exactly what grandma's perfume smelled like.
Right.
You remember exactly what grandma's house smelled like.
Right.
There's no machine that can replicate your memory and identify what you're smelling.
Right.
Therefore, you can't test it environmentally to get that. Now, the only way that it could even remotely be tested is if you say, I smell lavender, and I'm standing away from you, and the instant you say, I smell lavender, I come charging in to see if I smell lavender.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble is, will the airflow rushing behind me change that? Obviously, it will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though we've got some fantastic technology that can scan air for explosives and things like that, WMDs, shit like that, they can't determine from what's around that, you know, all of a sudden I smell lavender and the machine goes ding ding, we have a winner. Yes, the machine senses there's lavender.
Mm-hmm. But
it'd be fantastic.
An experiment that experience, and you know, at the same time, if you can't prove it at the time, then, you know, I mean, I spent like a half an hour trying to figure this out, and you know, I couldn't prove it. Mentally, I couldn't prove it, and I just happened to be lighting incense and having this experience, not knowing. So until later on, where I told, I called my dad and got confirmation on that. So, it is something interesting. It does happen in the paranormal fields, whether it's man-made or spiritually made is left unknown. But at the same time, you know, the way I see it is, if you have experience and you evaluate it and you can't prove why you're having that experience, it's paranormal. I like to say I'm a skeptical believer, and that may affirm investigators when they go into that, because then they believe, and that goes into what you were saying about, you know, planting the seed. And when you mention that, magicians that do magic tricks, mentalism, for example, they're planting that seed in. So, you know, that's actually a very interesting point that you guys brought up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I was watching the Mind Games or Brain Games program. And, you know, through distraction, through, you know, the way our mind works, if you take, like, one of the cool things that they did was to change your perception on something. They had a white dot and a black dot, and then they put a ring around both of them that was like white and black stripes. They would spin them in the exact same direction, but your mind would see one moving counterclockwise, one is moving clockwise. And then they would take the dots out of the center, and you would actually see that the rings are moving opposites. Your mind sees what isn't really happening.
Right.
And the way they described it is, our brains are lazy. It takes the easiest way and tries to find the most logical thing, and that's what it sticks to. So, as far as, you know, smells and, you know, things like that, I mean, yeah, our best, you know, we were actually asked this on Monday, what our favorite piece of equipment was to take into a investigation, and Matt and I both said, myself. My sensitivities, my body is my best tool on
and
the job because
you know yourself better than anybody else.
Yeah, when the hair on my arm starts standing up, I know something has changed. You know, if for no reason the hair on my arm stands up and the hair on the back of my neck stands up, I know something has changed, something is different, and I need to pay attention and figure out what the hell has done that. Now,
right.
Usually that's energy. Energy changed somehow, some way, you know.
Well,
I mean, it'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful if we could have a piece of equipment for everything, but there just isn't.
Can I interject?
Well, sure. We'll let the host talk, I guess. If you must.
All right. So when it comes down to it, as far as Dennis, what you were just talking about I watch Brain Games constantly, and it's a great show. There's certain times that it will make you feel extremely stupid.
Yeah.
But what you were talking about what your brain tries to take the easiest path. Well, what your brain is doing, say whether it's sight, smell, hearing, anything like that, what it what your brain tries to do is it tries to identify it with a certain aspect of something that you've experienced in the past, or in the past, as far as learning end of it goes, to where when you were a kid, it goes smell, hearing, sight, and touch is how your brain actually learns how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll remember a sound. You'll remember the sound of a or let me back up. You remember a smell more than anything. You remember
mm-hmm.
a sound. Secondly, you remember something that you see. And then you remember something that you touch. Well, what the flip side of that is when you go to the extremes. It'll be, depending on the situation, if you touch something that's burning, burning hot, that burns your fingers, like when a kid touches a stove, he'll never touch a stove again because he knows that it's extremely, extremely hot, that it burned his fingers. But that's the only two senses that humans have that will basically say, hey, don't do this, or, oh, I remember this, is
right.
smell and touch.
Right.
So the way the brain works in trying to decipher what it is it doesn't try and find the easiest way out. What your brain is doing is it tries to identify with a previous situation that you've been in. It tries to rationalize that situation. And it tries to plug it in to a previous past experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. But in ways, it's absolutely wrong of what's going to be number one on that list.
No, and then sound.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I burnt toast a lot, and the smell makes me ill, and I still burn the flipping toast.
So, hey, real quick, we got about 7 minutes left. I do want, and this is one that's on the board, but it was a song that I grew up with, and it's something I want to play, and not to go into archive so people can actually hear it live and everything. I want to thank Joe. Thank you so much for calling in. You're always welcome.
No problem.
Anytime you want. Dennis and Joe and everybody out there, I hope that everybody has a extremely, extremely happy 4th and a safe one. So thank you for joining us tonight.
That shouldn't be a problem with safe since Mike Bloomberg in New York has banned fireworks. So, you know, we can't even shoot off fireworks. So.
Yeah, Joe, seriously, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate talking to you. It was a great conversation. A lot of more questions got brought up than answers, and that's why I love doing this shit. So, but
definitely.
Yeah, thank you. I really hope you have a happy 4th. Dennis, you also, and I'm sure that we're going to talk right after this show. So, but yes, I know it's an oldie, but some people may say it's a goodie, but
just play.
I'm bringing out with a little bit of Skid Row during the little bit of Skid Row from the '80s
nice.
For our final. So happy 4th, everybody! Love all you guys. I hope that everybody has a complete awesome 4th with their friends and their family. And the reason that I'm playing this song is for those who cannot be with their family. So,
yeah.
Good night. Thank you. See you on Monday.